But our top story, Prime Minister Modi's visit to Mauritius today underscores India's strategic push in the Indian Ocean region. He's been conferred with Mauritius's biggest national award. It's a huge honour for the Prime Minister, who is the chief guest at the Mauritius National Day. The Prime Minister's focus, among other things, is to deepen ties through maritime security pacts and infrastructure projects.
Mauritius is not just a partner country. For us, Mauritius is family. This bond is deep and strong, rooted in history, heritage, and the human spirit. Mauritius is also a bridge connecting India to the wider global south. Whether it is investment or infrastructure, commerce or crisis response, India always stands with Mauritius.
Well, my colleague Ghazali has been tracking the story from Port Louis. He joins us now. A huge honour for the Prime Minister, first up, Ghazali, but he's also presented the Prime Minister of the Mauritius with an OCI card. Is that right?
Yeah, certainly. And an advertisement of how Government of India is backing the Indian origin people by extending the OCI card for seventh generation of those who are from the Indian origin families. And you see, the Prime Minister spoke about multiple issues, how Mauritius is a key partner of India, being part of the Sagar region, security and growth for all in the Indian Ocean region. And then he connected with the Indian diaspora. He spoke in Bhojpuri. He spoke about how the Nalanda University in Bihar has been revived. He spoke about how Mauritius has been part of the Bollywood films. He also spoke about the makhana, food from Bihar, where he spoke about that how it will grow to be on the world menu very soon. He also spoke about that how Mauritius is a very key partner of India. So whenever Mauritius prospers, India celebrates. He talked about the public funded projects which India has been assisting, be it a college over here or other public funded projects in Mauritius. And Prime Minister, while talking to about the Mauritian Prime Minister, he also recalled his old connection with Mauritius, that how in late 90s he was here to attend the World Ramayan Conference. And back then, Naveen Chandra Ramgoolam, the current Prime Minister, was also part of that conference. And he spoke about, he paid obeisance and he spoke highly about the father of the founding father of Mauritius, who also happens to be the father of the current Prime Minister. Besides that, he spoke about that how Indian community or indentured laborers who came to Mauritius back in 1830s, India will try to track or map those routes through which those laborers brought by the British government for sugar planting took the route. Indian government will try to map all those routes through which they were brought to Mauritius. So three parts of the speech in one. He spoke about the India-Mauritius connection, that how Mauritius is a key partner. Then he also spoke about the Indian diaspora, which is here, and a religious connect when he was talking about the Kumbh Mela and how he has brought the holy water from there, which he will pour tomorrow in the Ganga Talab, and said that those who could not visit Kumbh this year, for them he has brought this water just to show a sense and connect with India.
All right, Ghazali, thank you very much for sharing those details with us. Thanks very much indeed. Well, an important visit of the Prime Minister to Mauritius. How significant is this? Joining us now, India's former Foreign Secretary, Harsh Shringla. He's also India's G20 Sherpa. Thanks very much for being with us. How is this, in a sense, critical for India maintaining and expanding our presence in the Indian Ocean region at a time when China is seeking to do that?
So it is, you know, the strategic value of the Western Indian Ocean has only grown in the last decade or so, with increased Chinese involvement in the Indian Ocean, in Africa. I think Mauritius has emerged as a very important strategic neighbor. And I use the word neighbor very pointedly because I think lately we have really begun to regard Mauritius as one of our close neighbors, you know, probably akin to Sri Lanka and the Maldives. The activities that we have, the exchanges that we have in Mauritius is similar. Mauritius is also part of many groupings that we have that include Maldives, Sri Lanka, and our other neighboring countries. For example, the NSA level dialogue that takes place includes all of these countries, including Seychelles. So the Western Indian Ocean is an area of particular interest to us. With increased activity, the French and the Americans were always there, but the Chinese are a new entrant. And I think it's all the more important that our outreach to our neighbors, especially our island neighbors, is intensified. And in that context, I think Prime Minister Modi's visit is very critical and I think is very timely as well.
Ambassador Shringla, there's a white shipping information exchange agreement which is meant to enhance Indian Ocean maritime security. Could you tell us how that is an important part of what the Prime Minister, what India seeks to get done?
So there are a number of areas, I think, in which agreements will be concluded. Maritime security is one of them. And white shipping, the agreement in white shipping is also important because the two countries can then notify each other of cargo ships and other ships that are not military vessels, not naval vessels, but those that emit a certain signal indicating their presence in the area. And that information, white shipping information, is picked up by various, receiving stations. And then the countries exchange that information. So India and Mauritius will exchange information on shipping that is using our respective ports, which would be of interest to both sides, but especially to us, I imagine. And so maritime security becomes important. But there are a number of other agreements that are also of great importance, and that includes training of some 500 Mauritian civil servants over a period of 5 years in India, cooperation in the area of financial crimes, where I think a number of, not only would it involve training, but also probably guidance on cyber crimes and other areas on which I think Mauritius does need help, because as you'd recall, they were on the great list of the FATF,
yes,
Financial Action Task Force. And they needed to, tick off certain boxes in terms of their compliance. And this is where I think we can be supportive to Mauritius. So, maritime security is very critical, but there are other areas of in which we are signing agreements that are also important.
You know, we have, and you know this better than anybody else, a vision. It's called Sagar. It's our maritime outlook, if you will. What does India seek to achieve by focusing on the oceans and, for example, ensuring that international waterways are open for international commerce and for other purposes?
Well, sometimes in our preoccupation with our land borders, we forget that we are a maritime nation. India's historic greatness and civilizational greatness has been achieved through its maritime exchanges and links throughout history. And from that perspective, Sagar, or security and growth for all in the region, is part of the vision that Prime Minister Modi encapsulated when he visited Mauritius. I think it was 2015. In his first visit to Mauritius after taking over as a prime minister, 2018, on one of his visits to Mauritius, he articulated this concept of Sagar, which really means that India will work with its maritime neighbors to provide comprehensive support on areas like maritime security, anti-piracy, marine pollution, maritime surveillance, white shipping that we just spoke about. So that entire gamut of areas and activities that maritime nations need a lot of support on, because they don't have the resources to deal with their very extensive exclusive economic zone and protect all those areas. I think India is a very important partner for Seychelles, Mauritius, Maldives, Sri Lanka, and a host of other nations in the Western Indian Ocean and beyond.
Ambassador Shringla, there's the island of Agalega, which lies 1,100 kilometers north of the main Mauritian islands. We have worked, and it's part of an agreement between India and Mauritius to build infrastructure over there, to strengthen the existing airfield facilities, to strengthen boats and ships going into the area. And that's already proved beneficial because there was a cyclone which struck. And it's that infrastructure which, as I understand it, helped rescue people there and serve people there at a time of distress. So this was an Indian infrastructure project, right, which actually ends up helping people on those islands.
Absolutely. I think, Agalega was one of the, islands that is quite far from Port Louis, which is the capital. It's nonetheless important for Mauritius in terms of the development of facilities. India had extensive support in developing that entire area, as you say, right from a runway to piers to infrastructure in terms of housing and buildings there, petroleum depots and so on and so forth. A very good job was done by the Indian companies that were there that did this despite COVID and despite the fact that there were lockdowns, shipping was not available. I think we completed the project in record time, and I think that is one of our great accomplishments. But importantly, I think Mauritius, despite some of the controversies that were around that in terms of the criticism that came from opposition, I think the previous Prime Minister was very clear that this is a project that India is supporting us on. This is a project on which we are getting India's support, but it is within our sovereignty and it is something that is very Mauritius. I mean, Mauritius owned project. So from that perspective, I think we have lived up to those expectations. We have provided Mauritius with a very valuable piece of infrastructure in one of their distant, far-flung islands. It makes it easier for them to control their exclusive economic zone and shipping lanes in their area. And I think that's very important in today's days of piracy, illegal IUU fishing, areas that could pose a threat to Mauritius's economy and its security. And from that perspective, I think we have been very forthcoming in supporting Mauritius in developing an entire island's infrastructure in a very positive manner.
And this, of course, comes at a time when the Chinese have built and operationalized their first overseas military base in Djibouti. They deploy warships over there under the garb of anti-piracy missions. But I think if you are deploying destroyers and amphibious ships and frigates over there, then, the purpose is a lot more than just anti-piracy operations, given the firepower that you are deploying. Therefore, if you look at the expansion of the Chinese Navy, not just of Djibouti, they have basing facilities in Pakistan, presently Karachi, later on in other ports. We've seen the Chinese in Hambantota in Sri Lanka as well, where there is a 90-plus year agreement which exists. We've seen them try and get into the Maldives, and we've seen a great deal of research activity by their quote-unquote fishing boats and research vessels in the Bay of Bengal. So I think that's the larger picture. How is India looking at this expanded maritime presence of China in this area?
Well, you're right in saying that I think what we are seeing is preparations for a significant maritime expansion of the PLA Navy. Right from Chokfu in Myanmar to Gwadar in Pakistan to Djibouti and Hambantota, anywhere else that you can get a foothold in terms of allowing your ships, to dock and your naval activities to be carried out. I think, and of course, maritime surveillance, which China is carrying out very extensively, is all preparing for a much, much larger maritime presence in the Indian Ocean. And I think countries like India and perhaps even the Quad need to gear up to the fact that this is going to be a reality very soon, and that the Indo-Pacific region is going to see a much larger Chinese presence. Keep in mind that the PLA Navy spends more on its modernization than all the navies in the world put together, including the US Navy.
Yes.
So it's an incredible investment in the maritime domain. And I think it's concepts like Sagar that enabled us to combat that expansion. Building friendships, expanding our cooperation and providing assistance. We are the first responder in any natural disaster in our area, right from Banda Aceh in Indonesia to Mozambique to the coast of on the eastern littoral of Africa. Indian vessels are the first to reach and provide support. And I think this is something that's very important, that we hold the hands of all of our friends so that they are secure and they're confident about the support that India extends to them. At the same time, I think we need to expand our own naval presence. We have looked at very many options, and I think we are preparing very actively to meet that exigency under the rubric of Sagar, which is a purely cooperative area where we work with states that need our assistance. But our Navy is also gearing up to meet the challenge that is posed by this new entrant into the Indian Ocean. And I think it's very important for us to be conscious of that and prepare actively for that situation.
All right, Ambassador Shingla, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your thoughts on this critical relationship between India and Mauritius. Thank you very much indeed, sir. Well, joining us now, Ambassador Javed Ashraf, former Ambassador of India to France and Monaco. He's also been High Commissioner to Singapore. We are also joined by Vice Admiral Shekhar Sinha, the former Chief of Integrated Defence Staff. I'd like to thank you both very much for being with us. Ambassador Ashraf, let me come to you first. I was speaking to Ambassador Shingla there on, some of the geostrategic issues. We'll come back to that in a moment. But economically, what does India bring to the Indian Ocean region at a time when China is expanding its so-called string of pearls? It's China-Pakistan economic corridor. Economically, what does India bring to the region?
Well, I think, thank you, Vishnu. First of all, I'd like to say that it's a very historic visit, the 10th anniversary, literally, of Prime Minister's first visit as chief guest for the Mauritian Republic Day, or National Day, and when he actually unveiled the Sagar Doctrine. It wasn't in 2018, it was in 2015, and it was very well choreographed with the first time the Prime Minister of India, any Prime Minister of India, was articulating a vision on the Indian Ocean, on maritime security, and not just on the ocean, but on the Indian Ocean region. And there were five very important elements on it. One is, of course, that India will build its own maritime capabilities, and it will keep the, not just for itself and safeguard its interests, but it will also keep the Indian Ocean free and open. And third, that it will also be able to help its partner countries in times of disaster. So its capacity would grow in pursuit of a global good. The second would be that it would cooperate with all friendly countries in building their capacities, improving their security and economy. The third was, of course, regionalism, and this is very important, regional security cooperation through institutions like IONS. And then fourth was the regional comprehensive economic cooperation, and this is very important, which was through institutions like IORA, but also working in plurilateral setting. And the fifth one was that Indian Ocean isn't just a closed ocean, that it is an ocean that connects the world, and literally the West and the East. And therefore, we'll work with countries that are not in the region, but have stakes in the region. And that is how we work with countries like the United States and France in the region. Now, that it shows Mauritius is important because if you look at the Southwest Indian Ocean region, Southwest Indian Ocean region is actually the entry into the Indo-Pacific. It's the entry into the Indian Ocean. Look at the history of Second World War. It is a graveyard of all kinds of ships, from submarines to surface ships. It's always historically been the route. Today, when we see problems in the Middle East, everyone is routing their ships through it. I've been to Reunion Island in France for a naval exercise that Indian Navy conducted with France. And I can tell you, when you look at the maritime domain over there, there are all kinds of challenges. It isn't just about China. It's a very fragile region. It's got fragile governments. It's got problems of not just natural disasters or cyclones, but also of trafficking, of human trafficking, of drug trafficking, of radicalism on the eastern seaboard of Africa. And it is also a region that has fragile governments in some countries,
right,
and is rich in resources like gas. So it's obviously attracting all kinds of geostrategic interests, geopolitical interests, and geoeconomic interests. And we are, of course, present, don't forget, in Mozambique with big investments in oil and gas fields together with France. And so Mauritius was chosen by Prime Minister for a number of very good reasons to unveil that vision. And
okay,
why I'm emphasizing this aspect is that because 10 years later when he's going there, we were accomplished actually quite a bit of that. Part of it is economic. I have to say, though, that we haven't yet tapped fully the potential of IORA. We need to take ownership of IORA. IORA
right.
Has got a secretariat.
Ambassador Ashraf,
in Mauritius.
Lots of points over there, and I will come back to you in just a moment. But you've got Admiral Sinha with us as well. And Admiral Sinha, I just wanted to come back to the presence of China in these waters, the fact that they've got a military base in Djibouti right now. We see several Chinese warships, submarines as well, operate in these regions. From an Indian naval standpoint, how is this a very changed geo strategic reality which India needs to counter, and part of that is Mauritius, which is key.
Well, thank you, Vishnu, for getting me on your program. I think it's a big challenge. India was sort of undisputed big naval power in this entire Indian Ocean, but now you have company of the Chinese, and as everybody says, you know, there is a freedom of navigation. Yes, it is freedom of navigation even to Chinese ships. So we have to get used to this, and we have got used to it. However, they're coming in the close vicinity, operating the ocean research ships. On that name, they are actually using, you know, surveillance of not only our aerial activity, but also, you know, the our own trials and the of the missiles which are being done in Bay of Bengal and Indian Ocean. You know, the Chinese are, the radars are monitoring this. So it is quite challenging. And they also have a presence all the time under the name of counter piracy. They also deploy submarines. I don't know how submarine is going to help them in counter piracy arrangements. So we are very careful. We have deployed our ships with Mauritius. We have very close naval sort of cooperation. And as we go along, we can, you know, we can explore those areas as well. So that is how it is, Vishnu. We are careful. We are concerned. We are not worried. We are just concerned, really.
Ambassador Ashraf, how can India use our cultural ties and our historical links to further our association, not just with Mauritius, but several other countries in the Indian Ocean region?
Well, cultural relations create a context, but, you know, it has to be backed by very strong economic and security cooperation. People also operate in terms of self-interest. I can say in the context of Mauritius that, you know, there is that level of comfort that comes from historical and ethnic ties. But there are also counter forces operating in Mauritius that are actually sometimes acting in a very critical of India and try to orchestrate a campaign against India. They're in a minority. So I think we build on our cultural relations. We re-emphasize the human connection. But we need to back that up with very strong economic and security ties. You see, we have to understand that, you know, today, for example, in Mauritius, we are 10% of their imports. China accounts for 15%. As far as their exports are concerned, it's almost entirely driven by South Africa, France, UK, Europe, United States. We account for 3%. So the stakes for an average Mauritian is not very high. Mm-hmm. And so we are compensating for that by a very extensive program of economic development assistance. We are, of course, the preferred supplier for fuel, which is very important. We have invested heavily in infrastructure such as the metro, and we are now doing a community development project, more than 50 of them, 20 of them that Prime Minister is supposed to inaugurate today. So that, in a sense, compensates for what I think is a lack of very critical mass of trade. Then, of course, Mauritius was a source of second largest source of foreign investments into India. Now, that is not Mauritius investing in India. That's people routing money through Mauritius, just as they've done through Singapore. In the past, there was some controversy about round-tripping because of the peculiar specific facets of the India-Mauritius tax treaty that has been amended. There was some difficulty in doing that. Mauritius was very sensitive about it, but I think they saw the point that they need to have that reputational aspect of being a very clean base for investments to flow into India. And despite the tax treaty amendments, there has been, of course, continuing flow of investment, right, which Mauritius does offer a lot of advantages, just as Singapore does. So I think the two are competing in some sense, and that's a very important glue. And now we are signing an MOU on financial crimes, which is, I think, a very important step, because our double taxation avoidance amendment doesn't fully address some of those concerns, right, that we have about money laundering. And once we do this, but it isn't just about this, because it's a regional issue. The more we cooperate on financial crimes and illicit flow of funds, the more we are able to deal with some of the...
No, absolutely. There are lots of issues which challenges we can deal with. I'm just running out of time. I wanted to go back to Admiral Sinha. Admiral, India has traditionally looked upon ourselves as being a net security provider in the Indian Ocean region. That is obviously something that's being tested by the Chinese that we've been speaking about. But we've got excellent partners in the United States, in France, even other nations further away like Australia, the United Kingdom as well. Do you see or do you foresee a requirement in the future of many of these countries coming together in something more than joint exercises, perhaps some sort of military association or alliance, which is more than what we see now?
Well, that is the need of the hour, Vishnu, because everybody has been saying that Indian Ocean does not have any, formalized security architecture, but each one is talking about it in any forum that you go, they will always be asking. There is already some kind of cooperation as far as the maritime security is concerned, in which Mauritius and Seychelles are also included, apart from Sri Lanka and Seychelles. Sri Lanka and Maldives. So I think the basic framework already exists, but it has not spread its wing far and wide. And I think time is very much ripe for this kind of arrangement to get established. Second thing is that let's not forget that Mauritius has 2.3 million square kilometers of the EZ, and they cannot patrol, they cannot keep track of all this by themselves, and that is one area in maritime. The cooperation amongst the countries is very important, because it is not only one country which can provide all the security, and from that point of view, our cooperation with Mauritius and other small countries in the Indian Ocean becomes very important. And we have got a EEZ patrolling sort of cooperation arrangement with them. But the ships will have to be there for longer duration in larger numbers, given the challenges that are emerging, which you just mentioned about the Chinese ships. Vishnu.
All right. I'd like to thank you both very much for being with us. We've got new images coming in from Port Louis of the Prime Minister with the Mauritian leader over there. Ambassador Ashraf, we've got about 30, 40 seconds. If you'd like to make a point, please go ahead, sir.
A quick word. I think we have to build our capacities from seabed to space. That's the number one priority for maritime security. And second, we have to build a network of relationships where we can access ports and bases across the Indian Ocean region. I don't see a comprehensive security architecture arising, but we'll have a web of interlinked security partnerships that work towards a common objective, and that'll include both countries in the region, but also countries from outside, where we'll be both importer of security strength and exporter of security strength.
All right. I'd like to thank you both very much for joining us as the Prime Minister on day one of his visit to Mauritius, looking to step up ties. And the broader context is something that we've looked at very closely on this program.